Our scripture reading tonight is in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3. The text for preparing us for the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning will be verses 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? To commend is to praise. Or need we, as some others, epistles or letters of commendation or recommendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For if the ministration of death, the apostle here is going to refer to the giving of the Old Testament law in the Old Testament, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit, that's the New Covenant, the New Testament, be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, again the law, which of itself would condemn us, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness, revelation of the righteousness of Christ, exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our text is verses 2 and 3. Let's read that once more. Ye, plural, referring then to the body or the church. Ye are our epistle or letter written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The Bible that is being read by most outside of the church is the Bible that is seen in our own life and in our life as a congregation. That's what this verse is saying to us. This verse is telling us that God calls us as redeemed in the blood of Jesus to live an exemplary life, that in our conduct and in our words we leave behind us such a witness of Christ that it is a Bible to be seen and to be read of all men. Ye, says the apostle, plural, are the epistle of Christ. Not an epistle, he says, written with ink and on pages of paper, but this epistle, says Paul, is written by the Spirit of the living God. It is not written on tables of stone, but it has been written upon the fleshly tables of your heart. And this is known, observed, and read by all men. Many men and women, not in the church, if they're in the church, we would pray that they would be reading the Bible. Many men and women in the world form their opinions of Christianity not from what they are reading in the Bible, they're not reading in the Bible, but from what they read in the lives of you and I who profess the truth of the Scriptures of Jesus Christ. When our lives, penitent lives, but sincere lives, when our lives are as a book before the world that is faithful and true to Christ, then by the grace of God, a faithful witness is not only left, but that grace may attract others to Christ. This is what we confessed in Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism, when we said that it is by our life that others are gained to Christ, our life of thankfulness. But when the book of our life is inconsistent with what we believe, when the book of our life is blurred, then they are driven away from the gospel. For many, the only Bible that they are ever going to read is the Bible that is being written in your and in my daily life. You, says the apostle, are our epistle, our letter, known and read of all men. Every one of us, children, what is your life? What book does your life say? Young people, young adults, married, all of us as a congregation, as we live with each other, as we cherish the truth in our lives, the daily walking that we have with God, the words that come out of our mouths as we're at work, the life that the neighbor next on the next lot over the fence is witnessing in us. You are an epistle of Christ. As a young couple living in an apartment complex with neighbors above you and beneath you and across the hall, they hear and they read your life. what is it that they read? When you children are playing outside at recess at school, and the neighbor lady in the house is nearby, looks out of the window and sees what you're doing with each other. When as a high schooler, you're in the hall with other students. When you're walking last night at Art Prize in Grand Rapids. When you are at work. When we are all together as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a visitor sees us and observes us for the first time in the narthex. Ye are our epistle of Christ, known and read of all men. We talk from time to time of translations of the Bible, and we are committed to a translation that is faithful to the original languages, one that is reverent in its style, one that is clear and faithful. We talk about that. But what about the Bible that people are reading in our lives? The one that is being written in your life and in mine before the world. Is this Bible clear, faithful, used of God to produce conviction? We consider the Bible being read by all men. Let's see who the author of this Bible is. Let's see the readership of this Bible. And let's see the call that this Bible be a faithful translation. There were those in the church of Corinth who wanted the Apostle Paul to submit to them a letter of recommendation, verse 1. They wanted Paul to show some credentials that he was indeed the apostle who he claimed to be. They wanted him to produce a diploma to show them. They wanted to see the badge that he was indeed an apostle of Jesus Christ. They questioned his authenticity. They questioned his credibility. As you read 2 Corinthians, the epistle of 2 Corinthians, you will see that the apostle Paul in this epistle is constantly having two things upon his soul. The one thing that is upon his soul in this epistle is his love for the Corinthian church and his gratitude to God that they are showing evidence of having received his first epistle, an epistle in which he admonished them strongly for their sins. He wants to see, and he rejoices when he sees in them repentance and prompt obedience to the first epistle. And then the other thing that is upon his soul is that there was yet in Corinth a group of false teachers. A group of teachers, and perhaps not teachers, but a group just under the surface of the church, agitating and very manipulative and very perverse and constantly pecking away at the Apostle Paul himself. There were those in Corinth, as well as in all of the churches at that time, who were very reluctant to receive the Apostle Paul as an apostle, and were trying to turn the hearts of the congregation away from having affection for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul dealt with the questioning of his apostleship from the very beginning of his conversion. And years after that beginning, there were still those, and especially in Corinth, who attacked his apostleship. They said, Paul, You are not one of the 12 sent by Jesus Christ. After the death of Judas, the church, Acts 1, placed Matthias to be the 12th apostle. Paul, an apostle has got to be someone who has seen the risen Lord. How do you claim to be an apostle? And beside that, Paul, you have gone to the Gentiles and you teach them that they do not have to keep the ceremonies of the Old Testament law. And now the issue at Corinth was that these false teachers, because they wanted to gain preeminence in the church themselves, attacked Paul's apostleship, wanted to take away the affections of the Corinthians for Paul. To say to them, to say to the church, and always under the surface, Paul is a usurper. He has no credentials. He's simply a self-seeking man. In other words, this group in Corinth were acting the way Absalom acted when he sought to gain the hearts of the men of Israel away from David his father as he sat at the gate, criticizing cleverly his father's ineptitude and telling them that if he were king, certainly there would be prompt judgment and there would certainly be prompt attention to people's needs, if only he were the king. Now, what does the apostle do? Does he become exasperated and protest against them? Does he come against them vehemently? They say to him, "Where is your letter of recommendation? How do you claim to be an apostle?" Does he respond and say, "But I did see the risen Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he commissioned me to be an apostle." Later on, he is going to say that to them in this epistle, the 12th chapter. Does he perhaps point out to them, "How dare you question my credentials as an apostle because I have the signs of an apostle? I have performed miracles and healed the sick and raised the dead." And later on, he's going to say that too in this epistle. But this is what he says. He doesn't say that. "You ask of me to furnish you with a letter of authenticity. You want me to give you an epistle, a letter which verifies that I am an apostle sent by Jesus Christ, used of Jesus Christ unto the building of his church. You want to have proof for that?" Well, Paul says, "I happen to carry one with me at all times. I carry it in my heart. It's a letter that will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am an apostle." What was that letter? Was it a piece of paper penned by Christ that Paul could pull out and show people? Was it perhaps a diploma that came down FedEx or special delivery in the hands of angels saying, "Oh, here it is. Paul is indeed an apostle of Jesus Christ"? No. Paul says to the Corinthians, You as a church, you believer, you are my epistle of recommendation. You, the church, prove. Your existence as a church proves that I am indeed an apostle and that Christ has ministered to me, through me. You, that Christ has called you together as a church, that Christ, by his saving grace, has led you into a holy, repentant life, that Christ has given to you a love for his truth, that Christ has given you faith and repentance. Your existence, your life, the way that you are living as a congregation, and your spiritual life, your faithful life before Christ, is my letter of recommendation that I am indeed a bona fide servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are my epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, says the apostle. Now we need to catch the magnitude of what is being said. What is being said here then is that a faithful church living in God's word and truth, a believer, a young person, a child, a young adult, a family, living in faithfulness before God, seeking to live a true holy life in the midst of this wicked world, loving God's word, living in obedience to Jesus Christ. This is the testimony of God. This is the evidence that God has worked. This is an epistle, something written, something made by God to be seen and read by men. Ye are the epistle of Christ. The church, then, and you as a believer, are Christ's letter. Your faith, your life, our faith and life as a congregation is written by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, to be read by men. So we learn something of the church and of the believer today. How will others read? How will others come to know of the glorious gospel of the grace of God and its marvelous truth? Well, shall we say to them, all you got to do is click on our webpage, home, and then go to beliefs. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? What a wonderful thing God gave us in the internet. Shall we say to them, and we may say this, shall we say to them, well, also you will find the sermon audio downloads. Click on that. That will tell you. Or shall we, and this would be good too, find a pamphlet. That's very important. That's something they can read and meditate upon. And all of these things are important. All of these things have their vital place. But the Word of God to us tonight says that our walk of life, how we are living the Christian life, is the declaration, is the testimony that God wants to be read by all men, so that men know that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. The church and the believer personally is the epistle written by Jesus Christ to be read of all men. The author of this epistle is the Holy Spirit. Written, says the apostle, with the Spirit of the living God. Now, children, you know that when you're going to write a letter, you need two things. Perhaps this Sunday was that Sunday where we had to have our letters again ready for the orphans. So if you sat down this afternoon to write a letter, or if tomorrow your teacher wants you to write something, you obviously need two things. You need a pen or a pencil, a marker, and paper. You need something to write with, and you need something to write on. Now, when the Lord is going to write this letter in the lives of His people, a letter that can be read in India, even if you speak Hindi, and Indonesia, if you're a Muslim, or you live in Grand Rapids and you're walking in the mall, or there's a person out in front of you in the line at Myers, And God is going to write an epistle to be read by them. Then he begins with the Holy Spirit. It must be the Holy Spirit. That's his implement, the Spirit of the living God, the triune God, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, by his power, by grace, comes to write upon our hearts, fleshly tables of the heart. And he writes with an ink that does not fade, that does not wear off. And he works in your heart. Now, know those young couples who Wednesday night were at the Bible study and we were talking about the saving call. Just note these words. The Holy Spirit does this, verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. The Holy Spirit does it, but the Spirit now is working through the Word and through the ministry to write upon our hearts, upon fleshly tables of the heart. Not tables of stone, says Paul. Verse 3, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but on fleshly tables of the heart. And that, if you turn in your Bibles, I believe that's a reference to Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, where God says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart. This is Ezekiel 36, 26. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So when the Holy Spirit is going to write, he takes out of us that stony heart of our depravity. You can't write on that stone. And he puts into us a fleshly heart that can be touched. And it is the Holy Spirit then who writes in our lives and touches our hearts by his powerful word. And he writes the word of God on the inside of our hearts. So that when we put it together, the Holy Spirit penetrates into our deepest part, our hearts. He gives us a new heart, a heart of flesh. He writes the truth of God upon our hearts. He changes us. We come under the ministry of the Word of God so that we are changed. We repent. Now our desire is to live a life that is pleasing to God. And the result is the Holy Spirit in our lives has created a book to be read by men. This is what the church is. And this is what we are to be. The Holy Spirit has inspired 66 books of the Bible as the infallible truth of God, the inspired Word of God, the absolute, inerrant truth. But the Holy Spirit has also renewed the child of God, joined us together, given us to know the grace of God, given us to know the powerful life-changing truths of God's Word, worked in our life a new life in Christ. This life of ours is not inspired, but it is seen and it is read of all men. It is published, says the apostle. It is read. It's to be read by all men. This is the fruit then of God's grace in our lives. When others see us as children of God, We must be conscious and aware of the fact that they are to read in us the work of God. The work that He has begun in us, that inward life of regeneration, becomes manifest in our sanctification. The work of the Holy Spirit is not a dormant work, but that life of the Holy Spirit comes forth in our words and in our actions. And that is to be read of all men. If that's not seen at all, if there is no evidence of God's work in us, in our daily walk of life, there's no evidence to be found at all of that, then all of our testimonies of being a Christian doesn't mean anything. It's all words. It's what people see in how we live. People around us, unbelief, is going to ridicule that. They're going to reject that. They know that the life of the child of God is testifying to them that they are remaining in their sin and apart from Jesus Christ. That makes them extremely uncomfortable. It makes them extremely uncomfortable to look sometimes at the life of the child of God, and therefore they attack our lives as children of God. It makes them very uncomfortable to see you going to church on such a nice autumn afternoon. That's not... They want to ridicule that. They want to say, well, what fools. We can serve... We worship God too. We worship Him doing our own thing today. They don't like to hear the testimony that your life at that point is making to them. They recognize the writing of God, and they reject it. Or, by God's grace, they are drawn to it. They say, well, then what is it about God that is so much better and more enjoyable to you today than all the things that we've been waiting to do all week today, for today? This is our day. This is our calling as a child of God in our life and in our speech, to be an epistle whereby others can read and see our Lord Jesus, the truth, the grace of God, that others may see God. Ye are my witnesses that I am God. That applies, first of all, to us as a congregation, as an entire body, not the internet, good. Not the bulletin, good. Not pamphlets, good. But the life of the congregation as we live together, together, is to be an epistle, to be read by men of the truth of God. How does that work? It can work this way. A full parking lot Sunday morning and Sunday evening. A love for God's glorious truth given to us. A joy in the church and in our fellow members. A care one for each other, a loyalty, one to each other in Jesus Christ. A thirsting, an eagerness for the Word of God. How we worship. How we are worshiping right now. Whether our heart is here, whether our attention is here, whether our Bible is open to follow along with different passages when we sing. This is an epistle. This is not just same old, same old. This is an epistle being written to be seen of men of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is said of us in the community. And then in our own personal life, in our own life where we live, it is to be read by men and women in Hudsonville and in Jenison and wherever we live and wherever we work and by our neighbors. As I said, not just that we respond, well, here's our web address, you can look it up. But Paul says, no, it's written in flesh and blood, hearts, and in our lives. In the back on the bulletin table, we have, I think, a 5x6 card of our church that we want to use in the neighborhood to give to people so that people know what we believe, what we're all about. Now, that would be a good thing for us to do. We'd like to have the young people do this some Saturday to do this. That would be a wonderful thing. But here's my question, or here's my point. What is the epistle that is being read by men and women? The card? Or the young person standing before them in flesh and blood? What people are reading is not, first of all, the information you give them, people who don't know of Christ and are not converted, but they are reading you. It is our life before the world, our attitudes, that there is a weight about the child of God, a seriousness. There's the reality of salvation in Jesus Christ within our life. This is the epistle that is read of all men. We want that epistle, that Bible, to be faithful. I said when we began, we understand the need for a faithful translation of the Word of God. We don't want a Bible published that is changing the meaning of words, masking different truths, reflecting the opinions of the translators, leaving the wrong impressions. We want a translation of God's Word that is accurate, faithful to the Word that is spoken by God, a faithful version of the Bible in our hands. That's what we want. But now the epistle that men and women are reading around us must so also be true and faithful, so that others, seeing you and me, and the world does read and see us, that they would see that which is clear and faithful message of eternal life in Christ. They would see in us the seriousness of sin. They would learn from us the character of God. They would learn from us the preciousness of Jesus Christ. They would learn from us faithfulness, repentance, and truth. What is your life saying in the community and around us of Christ and of His truth? what is being read. The question is not, what do I say my life is saying? Because I see what I want to see. And then I always add my footnotes, my explanations, and my intentions, and what I, sorry you misunderstood, this is what I really meant. That's not the question, what do I say my life reflects? But the question is, what do others say your and my life reflects? What conclusions do they come to about Christ in the gospel after they have seen you and me? That's the question. And then we live as that body of Jesus Christ. And therefore it is the holiness of the church. We come to the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning. Our holiness, our repentance, our turning from sin. And then there is the teaching, the truth of the Word of God, the Reformed and biblical truth that is so precious to us. And then there is the witness of the unity of the church and the self-denying love of the members in the church, a faithful epistle of Christ to be read of men. Now, Paul does not bring this up out of the blue. As we saw, they were saying, you are no apostle. You are no servant. Christ is not using you. God's truth is not on your lips. You are not the genuine article. Paul, you are an apostle. We want you to give us a letter of recommendation. And Paul says, I have one. It's written in my heart. I cherish it. It's something that is being read and known by every man. It's a matter of public record. I have an argument that nobody can gainsay. No one can doubt the genuineness that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, because my letter is you. You as a congregation, you are my letter, which shows that through me, a true church has been formed, living in true faith as a people of God is our letter before the world. The life of the church and the life of the believer is a letter that proves something. It's a letter that demonstrates something. It demonstrates that God has saved by grace the worst of sinners, that God has sent His Son. It demonstrates that we have been with Jesus. May our epistle be faithful and true. Amen. Father in heaven, we take our walk for granted. We fall into indifference. We fail to realize what Thou hast done and the difference Thy grace has made. We forget that the world is ever watching and reading our life. May our life, O Lord, and the testimony of our lips be found pleasing and faithful to Thy wondrous grace, that we may say, come and hear, what the Lord has done for my soul. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.